Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. 6:09, about 2 hours left until the polls close at 8 p.m. So if you haven't voted, you still have a chance. On today's show, state lawmakers have some concerns about fracking. It's happening here in Michigan. What is it and what are the dangers involved? We'll talk about it. And the MEA speaking out tonight about all that education reform legislation rolling through the Capitol. It's something they've been opposed to from the get-go. I'll find out exactly why. But first, the whole country now paying attention to the latest developments in Lansing as lawmakers work to establish an anti-bullying law in Michigan. The Senate last week passing a bill that is drawing some real concerns. How will the House address the issue? To talk about it, I'm joined by Kevin Epling, father of Matt Epling, after whom the law is being named. Matt was the victim of bullying, committed suicide as a result. Kevin is also the national co-director of Bully Police USA. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've been involved in discussions with lawmakers today on this legislation. What is the latest? Are Republican House members in agreement that the Senate bill does not effectively protect students from bullying, or is that still up for debate?
No, I think I had some very good conversations with the Speaker of the House today and also House Democratic leaders to look at the bill and how we need to kind of change some things. I think a lot of people are just unhappy with the last-minute addition of the language that was added, and we're all looking to work together at this point to really kind of make changes to this bill, make it correct, and make it good for our students that, you know, we are going to put an effective anti-bullying policy in place and not something that is going to really cause more problems, which I think this language would have done.
So the bill is named Matt's Safe School Law for Your Son. Although Senate Republicans added the language to the bill to establish that schools could not prohibit, quote, a statement of a sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. Is there underlying concern that a highly restrictive and detailed law could be used to declare any verbal confrontation as bullying?
Well, I don't think so. I think what this language that we looked at specifically, because we had been told, you know, by the Republican leadership for basically the last 6 years that I have been involved in this, is that we cannot have any special protected classes. And the first chance they get to kind of put it out on their own, they put in a specially protected class to make sure that, you know, people can say anything and get away with anything based on their religion. And I think that just looked, I know a lot of schools looked at that and went, well, isn't that causing an additional problem for the schools? So, you know, and we're not trying to carve out any special protected classes. We're trying to say that, you know, bullying across the board is wrong, and in no way should anyone get a pass for acting in that manner.
Some have said this bill is a license to bully. Do you believe the supporters of the Senate bill have any kind of motive to allow for bullying in our schools?
I don't think they have a motive. I think they have to question why this was actually even allowed in there, because when you do read that, if you have a moral conviction to someone else, or you have a strongly held religious belief towards someone else, no matter be they, you know, have red hair, be they a Muslim, anything like that, that seems to give them a pass that whatever they say or do is acceptable. And I think that was where a lot of what we've seen around the country and around the world. I mean, I've received emails from Europe, England, Australia, Canada, you know, just saying this is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, my email box has gone up by 500 emails in the last 3 days.
Well, tell me, Kevin, why do you think this language was added on then?
You know, it's kind of a mystery, and I even asked today as to, you know, who kind of put that in and what was the motivation to put that in. There are some things within the bill that are very solid that I don't want to see taken out, that I want to keep moving forward. You know, I think we need better reporting added into that to the state level. I think we need stronger language on cyberbullying. So I think they had almost done a very good job. And why the senators themselves did not look at each other when someone tried to put this in, I mean, I think everybody's moral compass should have said, excuse me, why are we doing this? And that wasn't there. And that's one of the things, you know, I actively tell kids is, you know, when you see something wrong or you hear something wrong, you need to speak up, you need to say something. You know, that's what bullying does. And, I mean, it's actually almost, it seems like other Senate members seem to be bullied into voting for this rather than standing their own ground.
I'm talking to Kevin Epling, the father of Matt Epling, who this new law will be named after. You know, I wonder, Kevin, what is the proper penalty for a bully? I mean, should they be expelled for a while, or should there be a potentially permanent penalty?
Well, I think we're also leaving the punishment, if you will, up to the schools. It has to be done at the local level. But I think what we have to do is get away from the old way of thinking that bullies all have to be expelled. You know, somewhere there's a reason why that student is acting out, why that student is doing what they're doing. We actually need to get to that and actually help, you know, re-educate them and bring them back into fold. When we talk about, we don't want to always do something just for the victim. You know, we want to also help the bully understand what they're doing, because the track record has shown that, you know, if we don't educate the bullies as to what they're doing is wrong, I mean, they will end up in the penal system if we don't correct them. Well, so it just creates another problem.
Well, in fact, it seems that a bullying dispute could very well end up looking like a court case. I mean, there'd have to be evidence provided, and someone would have to decide if the situation was, in fact, a bullying situation. How would that process unfold typically then?
Well, I think a lot of times, a lot of that's already happening in our schools. You know, schools have to kind of look in and do some of that self-investigating already, and they do it because they want to know what's going on in their school. But then we also have instances of schools that don't have policies and don't do anything. You know, they just simply ignore it and say, kids will be kids. This is part of growing up. And we're trying to say, as a society, this is a major issue. Across the United States, in every school, bullying is an issue. You need to start taking a closer look at it, because when we have schools that step up and step in and start actively, you know, combating bullying, if they will, and use the students as one of the most strong tools that we have in our arsenal against that, is, you know, down the road, you're going to get teaching time back. You're going to reduce your truancy rates. You know, your test scores are going to go up. And that's been proven in schools that have had long history of anti-bullying programs that have been running for three to 5 years.
It certainly makes sense that you'd be able to concentrate on your studies if you're not concerned about being assaulted. You know, there are also concerns about teasing and gossip that are now part of cyberbullying. Although, can that really be considered a real bullying situation?
Well, I think one of the best things that any school district has to do, and when I go out and speak, I tell school districts they have to do this, is they really have to have that heart-to-heart discussion with their staff about what is and what is not bullying. Because sometimes we are going to have normal teasing, you know, but when you go out of your way to intentionally harm somebody, harm their livelihood, you know, harm their social structure, that's into bullying. You know, that's an easy way to kind of say you've crossed that line. And schools have to have that discussion. And just as we're asking students to kind of step out of their own comfort zone and change the way they're thinking about bullying, we have to do the same thing with adults. And when you have a school culture, if you have two or three people that aren't going to go along with the school culture, they're going to break that new model. And so we have to say, as a society, again, we are now going to say, bullying in its most grievous forms is not tolerated, it is not accepted, and we're not going to look the other way anymore. And it goes even more so for cyberbullying. One of the issues in the bill that I still have, and I've had for years, is that anti-bullying bill states, you know, about cyberbullying, that schools have to take action if it is done with school equipment. And I'm saying, no, you have to move that to the next tier. It has to be on or off school property.
I see. Now, about a minute left. In terms of the current state of our bullying problem, I mean, don't most school districts address it in some form? Aren't there policies that most of them have to deal with bullies?
Well, here's the thing, is we've been asking for years for, and why I have it in the law, and I've been pushing for it, is that every school district would have to turn their policy into the state of Michigan once they accomplish that. Right now, we don't have a clear number of what schools have solid policies, which ones are working, and we want to rectify that. So we have to have them turn them into the state. there are schools that are doing tremendous things here in Michigan, and they are thinking outside the box. They're activating their students. But we still have schools that are still asking for help. Mm-hmm. Even when I get called in to talk at schools, it's like, you know what, we know it's an issue. We just don't know where to start.
So, but there is ultimately some form of resistance to this bullying legislation, it appears.
Well, I think, you know, it's when we are talking about this anti-bullying, we are really talking about a cultural shift to saying that treating each other badly is unacceptable. And the hardest problem that I have found since I have been working on this since 2003, the year after Matt passed away, I dove in. The students get it. The adults have been the biggest problem. They're the ones who don't want to change.
You do ultimately believe, though, that there should be no clear state regulations or guidelines. It should be all done locally.
Well, I think we do have to have guidelines, and I think there are some things that need to be in that law, and there were already that they voted for about telling schools that they really need to have certain people who are identified as go-to people within the school. They have to have training sessions. They have to have the policies disseminated. Mm-hmm. There are guidelines because we've left it up to local control right now, and our schools are in a shamble. So mm-hmm. I think that's the point where legislation has to come in, is after a period of time you can see that something's wrong, legislation has to step in. That's why we have seatbelt laws. That's why we have helmet laws. Sure. You know, we get to a certain point, we have to make a difference.
Well, we'll see what the House comes up with. Kevin Epling, father of Matt Epling, who this new anti-bullying law will be named after. Thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Michael.